This is Bayou Rumbie with Gift E.
We're talking about a very special team here.
God, have you let it in? Help!
This is Bayou Rumbie with Gift E.
You say it was just a left to the head and then a right.
I don't understand how, I don't understand why, but all I know is it didn't work. It didn't work.
Here's a chance for the skipper.
The best and only analysis for Louisiana rugby.
Objection! Hearsay!
Look, you can't do that kind of stuff on the field. It ruins the way the game is played.
That was a heck of an effort.
Bayou Rugby. Gift E.
We don't need your education. We don't need your thought control.
Welcome to Bayou Rugby with Gift E. That's me, Gift Ebelu, if you really need to know. And the answer is yes. Yes, you really do need to know. I'm so happy to be back on the show today because it's another great week of rugby behind us with another great week coming up front because it is a St. Paddy's Day weekend. We have a great lineup for you today. We're going to go through the scores from last week, big games for high school rugby. We get a chance to talk to Louisiana High School Rugby Association Commissioner Gary Giepert. We get to see what's coming up this week in rugby. Last home games, big matchups, and getting one step closer to the playoffs. We have this and much, much more for you, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. I wanted to take the time to make a mention to the loss of one of our brethren last week, Wednesday, and I wanted to make a big apology because I did not mention it in the show on Friday. But last week, Wednesday, New Orleans Rugby Club player Sean Debenport lost his life on I-10 getting hit by a truck while he was on his motorcycle. This kid's 22 years old. Played for the Division II side. Look, nonetheless, Baton Rouge and New Orleans, they might be rivals on the field, but in the end, we're all brothers in rugby. This is a fraternity. This is a group of men that, regardless of what happens on the field, we always love each other off of the field. And any loss is a loss to the whole. You know, we want to say our prayers and condolences for the friends and family of Sean. This is definitely a hard time, especially for a kid who's so young, 22 years old. Guy was part of the U.S. Coast Guard, and it's just, this is devastating. Once again, I want to make sure that we remember Sean, and we remember New Orleans, and we remember Sean's family, and our prayers and condolences to the rest of you. And I hope that we can just take the time to remember the things that need to appreciate that. Remember, time is not always there, and we need to remember to enjoy and appreciate the time that we have. Thank you. All right, we're back. It's Bayou Rugby with Gift E. Let's start where we know it begins, the foundation of rugby here in Louisiana, and that is some high school rugby. This was a nice week of high school rugby this past week. We had the day of rugby in New Orleans. It was being held at Pan Am Stadium in New Orleans, so we knew it was some special rugby happening there. There was not one, not two, not three, not four, but five games that were played that week. Day of rugby started at 11 a.m., lasted all the way to 9 p.m. It's just intense. The day of rugby actually featured two traveling teams, White Station from Memphis and Central Illinois from the Chicago area. Starting off this day of rugby for high school, we had Brother Martin versus White Station. Last week, I had predicted that Brother Martin was going to dominate White Station 55-20. And apparently, I wasn't too far off because Brother Martin came out with the win 41-12 over White Station. They simply oversized and overmatched the White Station team. Next up, we had Audubon playing White Station again. This was later on in the day, so don't worry. Audubon handed White Station another dominating loss, 49-14. These poor White Station guys had to trot back to Memphis with this 0-2 heavy beatings that they took this weekend. We also had Central Illinois coming down from the Chicago area, Peoria and the suburbs of Chicago. They started off playing a strong Jesuit team. I predicted that Jesuit would win a close game, 35-24. It looks like I had the correction on how close the game would be, but Jesuit, unfortunately, was not able to pull this match out. They lost a toughie match to Central Illinois, 27-22. Finally, to end the day, Lake Area had a chance to play Central Illinois as well. This one was an extremely close match. I had predicted Lake Area would bring the hammer, but I thought they would fall short, and I saw this being a 24-21 loss to them. I had the pleasure of being able to ref this game, and let me just say, this one is something to watch. Lake Area is a very, very talented team. I was watching what they had. Their athletics and their speed is incredible. And they are going to be something to contend with whenever they understand and learn the fundamentals of the game. Apparently, they're only a program that's been around for 2 years. And as we talked to Nick last week, a lot of them had just come off the basketball season and only had a few hours, not even days, a few hours of work throughout the week to be able to get ready for the game. So it was understandable, the fundamentals. But whenever I tell you that these guys probably could have dominated this Central Illinois team, they were in the red zone at least 3 or 4 times before turning over the ball based on poor handling or on penalties and having Central Illinois come back up. But this is a team that will be contention worthy as the years come by. We also had in the high school division some teams that were not at Day of Rugby. Shaw High School went up to Dallas to play in the Dallas Jesuit Challenge Tournament. They ended up coming in second in that tournament, losing in the championship game 31-17 to Bellmare of California. Let's just say they are a team again. We found out last week they were ranked 17th in the nation, and they continue to be so. They maintain a record of 6-1 after it's all done, and there's still something to worry about. I'm sorry, not 6-1. I meant 5-0. And even though this was not a league play, it gives you an example of where these teams are right now. But moving on to the college division, and let's just say there was not too many games in the college division this week, considering there was a numerous amount of bye weeks. We had one main game that came up. We had also at the Pan American Stadium, we had Louisiana Tech playing Loyola. Now, I had predicted that Louisiana Tech was going to win a squeaker of a game 35-21 over Loyola. I thought Loyola might still feel a little bit of a hangover from their loss to Tulane. And boy, was I wrong. Loyola thrashed Louisiana Tech 69-26. I guess the travel was not too great for Louisiana Tech, but at the same time, you understand Louisiana Tech is a young team, and they are starting back up this year after having years of being under suspension. So for them to still be able to be in the game was still impressive, but Loyola definitely has to feel a lot better after their loss against Tulane the week prior. Moving on to club rugby, we'll start up in North Louisiana. Shreveport played a huge game against division opponent Frisco. This was a battle of the top two teams in the Texas Rugby Union division. I had predicted that Shreveport would lose this game 45-30, much of it based off of their previous loss to Frisco back in October. But they managed to prove me wrong. They continued their win streak with a 36-19 tough win over Frisco, and are prepared to play Dallas area next week as they set up to get their placement in the Sweet 16 playoffs. I got a chance to talk to Drew Tomczak and find out his thoughts on the game and more last week. How important was this game against Frisco for the rest of your season?
Well, it was really important. Moving forward, if we go undefeated the rest of the way, we have a chance for the Sweet 16s. Our next three matches coming up are against teams that either only have two wins or less. So it's more the bottom half of our bracket. So looking forward to having a real good season for the rest of the year.
So in this game, I know last time you guys played Frisco in October, it was a pretty tough game. Who were some of the impact players that you guys had in this game that just made the turnaround?
Well, we went to Frisco earlier in the year. We only traveled with 17, and out of that 17, we had three new players. Through recruitment and some team-building stuff, we've added a new front-row player, Ra Lawrence, who played at BYU. He's a New Zealander from BYU. We added some new backline players, Brandon Trant, who used to flank for us, moved to fly half. He's been doing a heck of a job. I think he's number three in the TRU in scoring right now. And, of course, Anthony Gregory, who's led the TRU for the past three seasons in scoring, is having another stellar year.
Okay, excellent. And as you said, this next three games tends to be the bottom half of y'all's division, bottom half of the teams. How do you keep your players in line to not underestimate these teams, preventing any upsets or any issues for these upcoming three games?
That's a good question. The first match against Dark, we played them twice. They're actually the last team that beat us in Shreveport 2 years ago, so we're really focused on them. They were number four in the country 2 years ago in Division III, and they moved up last year and got hurt a little bit by guys moving to the Frisco team. But that's still a highly contested match. I believe our boys will be focused for that one.
Okay. And as you guys make your push into the Sweet 16, what do you feel you guys need to do to be able to make a serious push into playoffs and hopefully moving into nationals?
Of course, the biggest thing is probably fitness, keep our fitness up. The other thing is to have our Air Force contingency, who's about six players on our team, be able to travel with us. Last year when we went to the round of 32 in Tulsa, they weren't allowed to travel. Barksdale shut them down that week. They had a training exercise, so we actually lost four of our starters out of the six or seven guys that travel with us from Barksdale. So luckily this year it's in Dallas. The Sweet 16s are in Dallas, so it almost is like a home match for us. So we're looking forward to that.
And last question, what have you felt has been the keys to your guys' success over the course of this entire season so far?
I would say our sponsors and our supporters. We have a good core sponsorship. We have about five or six companies that sponsor us: Horseshoe Casino, Red Ball Auction, Eco Mulch and Sod, Eagle Distributing, and I would say probably our advertising. This year has been recruitment and advertising has been a lot more than in the past. We have a new team starting at Louisiana Tech that we actually helped get started this year. It's the first year in the South Division Collegiate. Laterno University just started in Texas, and we're starting to work on a Northwestern Sevens team this summer. So out of those three colleges, we're hoping we'll start feeding more players in than we have in the past.
Oh, excellent. Drew, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with you guys next week against Dallas. It should be a strong win. It doesn't seem they have any wins on the season, but continue best of luck, and I hope you guys have success once you get to the playoffs.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Moving further south, we have the New Orleans D2 squad playing Arkansas at Arkansas. Would that be moving south? It doesn't matter. Anyways, I predicted that New Orleans D2 was going to come off the Memphis loss last week, 2 weeks ago, and come back strong against Arkansas. I was nowhere near correct. New Orleans took a beating, losing 44-10 to Arkansas, falling to 2-3 on the year. And finally, in Baton Rouge, Memphis came into town. I predicted that Baton Rouge was going to begin a turnaround for this dismal season that's been occurring and bring a win against Memphis 24-15. Instead, the season continues to tank after an extremely hard-fought but very mistaken-riddled 17-12 loss to Memphis. Baton Rouge falls to 1-4 in the Deep South, and with playoff hopes slowly just being dashed away, hopefully we can find a way to climb back to at least 50%. Those are all the scores from this past weekend. Next, we caught up with Gary Giepert and talked with him about high school rugby, the future of rugby, and much more. Stay tuned. This is Bayou Rugby with Gift E. We'll see you soon. Hi, I'm here with Gary Giepert, Louisiana Commissioner for the Louisiana High School Rugby Association. Gary, thanks for coming on to the show today.
No problem. Happy to be here.
I appreciate it. Right off the bat, I wanted to start. How did the high school rugby start here in Louisiana?
12 years ago, a group of old boys, guys that played rugby, were getting a little older. Decided to start a team, and a young guy named Tripp McCormick came in from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and helped jumpstart us into actually doing it. We had thought about it for a while, and he said, "Why don't we just do it?" So we did it, and we started with Jesuit, Brother Martin, Shaw, and I think it was De La Salle was that first year. I'm not sure who the first year, but it was Jesuit, Brother Martin, Shaw. And it was either three teams or four teams that first year. And it just has kind of progressed from there.
And whenever you guys started this, did you guys take it as individual schools beginning, or was it created as an association that led into using these schools?
I think at the very beginning, we did it as individual clubs, like we were the Crusader Rugby Club, and there was the Blue Jay Rugby Club and the Eagle Rugby Club, with the idea that they would be associated with the school. And shortly thereafter, I know the Jesuit Rugby Club became associated with the school. I think it took us 1 year for the Crusader Rugby Club to become associated with the school. Now Shaw is associated with the school, and almost all the schools in the New Orleans area are school-based, single school-based. There is one that is an open club, that's Audubon.
Okay. And how many teams at this point now are a part of the Louisiana High School group?
Well, we call it either the Louisiana High School or the Deep South High School, because we have two teams that don't have anybody else to play out of state, Niceville, Florida, and Mississippi, Southern Mississippi. So they're part of our league. So it's Niceville, Mississippi Rugby, Shaw, Brother Martin, Jesuit, Audubon, Lake Area, and a school in Lafayette called the Episcopal School of Acadiana. So I believe it's eight teams. Rummel was a team up until last year. They were not able to field a team this year, but it's our goal to make sure they are resurrected next year. Also, we're looking at West Jefferson High School and St. Paul's, who has signed up about 20 interested players, and they're supposed to come on board next year.
We with schools like Lake Area, I know they became the first public high school here in Louisiana to carry a high school rugby team. Is the direction that you guys are going to now trying to pushing away from the private schools like Shaw, Jesuit, Brother Martin, and pushing towards those public leagues?
Well, we're pretty open to anybody. I don't think we pushed in any direction. It was just that I had been associated with Brother Martin. That's where my children were. Tim Falcon was associated with Shaw. That's where his children were. Robert Markell was associated with Jesuit because that's where his children were. That's sort of the reason we started those schools. We've never had sort of an idea to focus on one or the other, so we welcome any school. I think the beauty and the attractiveness for charter schools is that rugby is a very inexpensive sport to have. You basically need a ball, and your kids need shorts and cleats, and you can have a field of rugby team. So I think it's very attractive to charter schools, and I think Lake Area's experience in having a rugby team has been very positive, and they're very happy they had started one.
Okay. As continuing on the high school note, Louisiana, sports typically is run within the LHSAA. Have you guys tried to create any association with the LHSAA, or have you decided, is it easier to be able to be a separate body from that, considering that you guys have schools that are not necessarily high schools as well as associated with Mississippi and Florida?
Right. At this point, we have not petitioned the LHSAA for membership. It may come to that point down the road if we get enough rugby teams, but right now it is easier for us to manage ourselves and organize ourselves. And you're right, like you said, there are teams outside of the state that are participating, and so we work under the auspices of USA Rugby and Louisiana Rugby. So those are the two groups that we work under.
Whenever have you gotten a chance to talk with other commissioners with the other states? I know Tennessee has a strong high school program. Have you been able to have any connections with any commissioners from other states?
We've talked and emailed. There's a Southern High School Championship, and actually that is being held in New Orleans this year on May 4th and 5th. And in relation to those, we have a lot of feedback through the other ones. Marty Bradley was, I think he was the former commissioner of Tennessee, and had a lot of emails with him. And, I mean, we play teams from Tennessee on an annual basis. Brother Martin plays two teams from Memphis on an annual basis, and so we talk to their coaches. And Tennessee has done a great job with organizing high school rugby throughout the state. You know, we've dealt with coaches from Atlanta and Georgia, and we've dealt with coaches from Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Arkansas. So there is a lot of communication between the people who are promoting high school rugby, whether they're commissioners or simply coaches. We're all in the same boat. We're volunteers who are hoping to, spread the love of the game.
And that's excellent. How does it look with Louisiana's program in comparison to a lot of the rest of the nation? I know Shaw got ranked by Rugby Mag as the number 17th school in the nation, which is huge for Louisiana. How's the rest of the program felt like it's developed in comparison?
We think that Louisiana rugby is can be competitive with most of the nation. Jesuit has had a strong program for many years. Brother Martin has had a strong program. Jesuit has gone to the Nationals before. Brother Martin has gone to the Nationals before. Shaw is definitely the team to beat this year in Louisiana and is extremely strong. They just went up to the Jesuit Challenge Cup in Dallas. Jesuit of Dallas hosts that. And they played in the finals and lost to a team from California. On at least three occasions, Louisiana All-Star team has won an invitational All-Star tournament in Colorado. It was one of the main selection vehicles for the USA High School All-Star team. And Jerry Molina coached that and won three championships at that tournament from a collection of all-stars from the Louisiana area. Now it's being run by Tim Falcon and Dave Buckingham, and they plan on going to a tournament in Atlanta in mid-June.
Oh, that is excellent. So going back, the way that the high school division is set up, and I know a lot of people might have a vague idea of how a season usually goes, but considering that that rugby typically has a national impact, how does the season, a regular season scheduling, look for a Louisiana team? Is it like football where it simply stops at the state level, or does it expand past there?
Well, we begin the season in mid-January and play through April. Like I said, part of our league are two teams out of state, so we play each one of those once. Teams are free to schedule what we call friendlies. They don't count toward league play against any team. And quite regularly, Shaw, Brother Martin, and Jesuit will schedule games against teams from Tennessee, Texas, possibly other states. The season ends the top four team playing for the state championship. We play semis and finals. From there, if you win the state, you can go on to the Southern Regionals. up until two or three years ago, after, if you won the Southern Regionals, you went on to Nationals. For whatever reason, the National Board decided that Nationals should be an invitational tournament, and so you no longer work toward Nationals. Basically, the highest you go without an invitation is Regionals, which is the Southern High School Rugby Tournament.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, I know that you've been playing and or working within rugby for the better part of 30 years, going from LSU, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and playing a little USA Rugby. Do you mind telling a little bit about what got you so into rugby from an early stage?
I played high school football at Brother Martin. I was an all-city linebacker and walked on at LSU. I decided fairly early on that it was going to be tough to be a football player and commit the time at the college level and be a serious student. So I quit the LSU football team as a walk-on, and within a few weeks, I saw another Brother Martin football player who was at LSU and told me about this sport called rugby. I went to practice on Thursday. I went to Spring Hill on Saturday and started my first game, and the rest is history. I love the practice. I love the game. I love the players. I mean, it was a very unique and interesting group of guys who, and I got along well with, and many of them are still my best friends. So, you know, and I played for LSU for 5 years, played for Baton Rouge for 3 years. In that time frame, I was selected to the U.S. Junior Eagles, toured Europe with the U.S. Junior Eagles, played against Japan for the U.S. Junior Eagles in Dallas with a good friend of mine who's since moved to New Orleans, Bob Osinowski. Then, you know, moved to New Orleans, played for New Orleans, and still to some on some time still played for New Orleans. I organized what's called the New Orleans Old Boys, those players over 35 years, most of us now are not 50. we play once or twice a year and go on tour every other year. This year, this October, we're going on a 10-day tour to Ireland.
That is excellent. And you are also the head coach for the Brother Martin team as well.
I'm the head coach for the Brother Martin Crusaders, ably aided by Jerry Molina, and now we have three other men who are helping us whose sons all went through Brother Martin and played rugby in college, and so that's very, very helpful to Jerry and I. Felix Bopp, who's a doctor, Joe Guenta, who's a salesman, and Lester Duey, who's a political consultant, all played rugby in college. Their sons played for Brother Martin, and now they're helping coach.
That's excellent. So going from being player to coach, what took you to the next level of becoming the commissioner for this Deep South and subsequently this Louisiana high school grouping?
I think I was always, officially or unofficially, the commissioner. I'm the one who seems to organize things. I mean, you know, there's always one guy who organizes where everybody's going to meet or where everybody's going to go, and that's always seemed to be me. So I was the one who organized, you know, we'll meet here and do the schedule, we'll contact the refs. This is where we'll play. So I don't think it's any great honor. It's just I was the guy who kind of organized it.
Well, you know what? You've organized it extremely well. The way that these teams have played, the chances I've gotten to watch them have been just incredible. Makes one almost a little jealous that they didn't have it whenever they were in high school themselves. But when, as you guys have, you know, built up on this, do you feel like there's any players in the league that you see might be potential, you know, for going to the next level, maybe to become an Eagle or playing internationally, or anyone that you feel specifically from any of these teams that can make a difference to highlight Louisiana rugby?
Well, I think the whole league has made a difference to New Orleans rugby in particular. I mean, New Orleans rugby has won two national championships over the past 3 years. I think that's directly attributable to the Louisiana High School Rugby League, which is centered in New Orleans. Most of the kids come from New Orleans, and people from New Orleans seem to stay here. You look at the two teams that won the national championship, they had a good deal of New Orleans high school players on that team. As far as Eagles now, or high school All-Americans. I'm not sure what they call them now, but the first one was a boy named Adam Ducoing from Brother Martin, who now plays for New Orleans. The second one was Cullen Glennon, a Brother Martin grad who now plays for New Orleans. The third one is Cameron Falcon, a Shaw grad, who probably stands the best chance of all of them to make the Senior Eagles. He is right now a hooker playing for Trinity College in Dublin at their invitation. So, and as far as kids in the league right now who could make it to that level, you know, there are a few of them. I hate to conjecture who it would be because it takes a lot of dedication and desire. I mean, you got to want to do what it takes to get to that level, and also you got to make the time and money commitment to go to the tournaments that lead to that selection process, and then make the camps that lead to that selection process. So I'm not sure which kids today are willing to do that, but there's some out there with the talent, that's for sure.
Oh, that's excellent. And final question before I have to go. What is the direction that you like to see the high school rugby here in Louisiana take?
Like, well, I mean, we meet, you know, we do have a group of guys who meet on a fairly regular basis and talk about the growth of the sport. And as far as high school rugby's, our goals are to grow the sport by 2 to 3 teams a year. Like I said, next year we're hoping to resurrect Rummel, get St. Paul on board, which looks like it's happening, and get West Jefferson High School on board, which hopefully looks like it's happening. You know, the things that get in the way of that are not so much the kids and the players, it's finding the coaches. You need 2 to 3 good coaches for each team and the referees. So we need to keep increasing the number of coaches and referees as we increase the number of high school teams. But that's our goal, to increase the high school league by 2 to 3 teams a year for the foreseeable future.
Excellent. Gary, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Is there anything that you want us, the public, to know about Louisiana Rugby or about the commission?
Well, our big thing is on April 6th, we will have our high school rugby championship tournament. I'd call it a state tournament, but we have Mississippi and Niceville participating, so it might be the Deep South tournament. That will be at Pan Am Stadium on April 6th. And interwoven into the games for the high school championship, and there'll be two divisions, the cup, which will be the highest division, and the plate, which will be the second division. Interwoven with those games will be two New Orleans games. New Orleans plays Memphis on the same day, and they play Atlanta Renegades on the same day. So on April 6th at Pan Am Stadium, there will be a whole host of rugby games going on from probably 10 in the morning till 8:30 at night.
Well, that's excellent. It looks like it's going to be a busy but an exciting day. I thank you again, and you have a great day. All right, Gary?
All right, you too. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Welcome back. I want to talk a little bit about what my thoughts on the future of rugby. Now, obviously, we talk a lot about how rugby is impacting Louisiana, but I wanted to talk a little bit about where I think that the sport is going. I've always agreed with the fact that the foundation of rugby is based in the development of rugby at a youth level, but I don't hear a lot about what the long-term value of the sport would lead to. By that, I mean, what is the end goal game for the players? We know that we have the U.S. Eagles as the top echelon of the sport here in this country, but the financial incentive is not quite there. Yes, people get to that level because they love the sport. They love the camaraderie, they love the culture, and they want to play with and against the best. But what is the compensation from it? It's no secret that rugby was one of the last major sports to turn professional back in 1995. And it's no secret that the compensation for the sport, outside of personal glory, is anything in comparison to the other major sports like football, soccer, baseball, and basketball. But why? My plan, if I had control, would be to create a national organization that knows how to franchise and sell professional rugby teams across the nation. Yes, we do have Super League, but let's be honest, Super League is underwhelming at best in its compensation, which, to be honest, is really more of a travel compensated version of Division I rugby. USA Rugby and other organizations need to make a way to create a proper system that would have rugby players getting paid to play rugby, that would let them focus on the sport throughout the year. Not having to get a side job while playing rugby, but to get people to play full-time rugby and be compensated well. It can't, obviously it can't start as millions of dollars that you're getting, but like they do with football, but we can start in the hundreds of thousands and move our way up. The USA Eagles international squad should be a combining of our national all-stars from these franchise squads and have them playing to take on these larger powerhouse teams like New Zealand and South Africa and Ireland and Wales and the such. But this is just my thoughts on the future of rugby. If you agree or disagree, why don't you hit us up? Let us know on the wall of our like page on Facebook. It's Gift Time Sports. Or talk to us a little on Twitter at Gift Time Sports. Next up, we have our predictions for this weekend of rugby. So just stay tuned. Welcome back, guys. We've come to the final segment of the show, and this is where I talk to you guys about what is going to happen for this weekend. Scores for this weekend. Starting right off, we're going to go right into the high school division as we normally do, and ESA versus Lake Area is our first game of the day. We have ESA that is still 0-4 on the season, and we have a Lake Area team that is 2-2. I got the chance to see this Lake Area team play last week whenever they played against Central Illinois. And as I said before earlier in the show, that this is a Lake Area team that is full of athletes. They are fast. They are strong. They have the physical ability to be able to do a lot of damage in this league. But the only problem they have right now is because they are so new and because these kids are still learning how to play the game, Lake Area is still trying to find their way. That being said, I do expect Lake Area to win this game. I think the Central Illinois game might have given them quite a bit to work on, especially considering how much they were in the red zone for that game. I look at Lake Area winning this game 35-14 over ESA, moving up to 3-2 in league play and dropping ESA to 0-5. Next up, we have Shaw here in hometown in Gretna, which isn't really here, but here in Louisiana. Niceville is also a team. They're having a decent season. They're 3-2 so far, but unfortunately, this is a Shaw team that is just dominant. They just came off of a loss in the second place for the championship game for the Jesuit Dallas Challenge Tournament last week. And I think they're going to bring their rage and put it on to Niceville. And they're going to end up winning this game 55-12 in a dominating factor. After that, we have Audubon playing Mississippi. Now, Audubon is a cohesive team that's made up of teams from Mandeville, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. So they're not an actual school. I think they're still trying to learn, and they've only been around for about 2 years. Mississippi, having a 2-3 season, they've been up and down as you watch their schedule. But I do feel that Audubon will probably struggle in this game. They came off of a strong win against White Station, the team from Memphis, during the days of rugby. But I do feel that Audubon will probably slip up in this game. I see Audubon losing 22-12, but I feel that this is going to be one of those games that come down to the last 20 minutes of the game and pulling Mississippi to a 3-3 record and dropping Audubon to 1-4. Now, moving into the college divisions, we have our main game for the week, which will be LSU versus Florida. This will be the last home game for LSU. LSU right now is 4-1 with their only loss against South Carolina and coming off a huge win 2 weeks ago against Mississippi State in the 67-0 faction. Florida right now is 2-2 in league play.
they've been up and down. They've lost to, in similar teams, they've lost to South Carolina. But I think LSU being at home, being their leading scorers, Alan Alongi's last game, I think they're going to bring the hammer for this game. And especially considering that they want to make a push for the Southeast title, I feel that LSU will come out and win this game 35-20. And to be honest, I really think that 20 points from Florida will come closer to the end of the game in the second half, probably within the last 40 minutes of the game, and really doing the push after LSU's led a comfortable lead. Now we're going to move to club rugby, and we have two clubs playing this week as Baton Rouge is on a bye week. We have Shreveport, who we talked to Drew Tomczak earlier, and he said that this Dallas, the teams that they have left, are not heavy hitter teams. This Dallas area rugby club team has no wins on the season. So we do expect Shreveport, especially after a very confident and very invigorating win over their division rival Frisco, I see Shreveport winning this game 67-10 in a very dominating factor. And finally, we have New Orleans going to Jackson to play Jackson, where we see New Orleans coming off of a big loss against Arkansas. I know that, again, this is a New Orleans team that does not like to lose. They are not used to losing, considering the success that they've had over the last several years. And I do see Jackson losing to them, especially after what happened to Jackson in New Orleans with the 67-12 loss to New Orleans. I see New Orleans going up to Jackson and taking out Jackson 55-12 and hoping to bring their schedule at least back to a 50% so they can make a push at the end as they take on New Orleans. They take on Baton Rouge 2 weeks from now. Those are my predictions and scores for this upcoming weekend. I hope you guys get a chance to enjoy the games. If you guys want, please, please, please get in contact with us. We want to hear your voice. We want to see what you have in mind for the show and what your thoughts on rugby. It's not just for me to be able to do this, but I want to be able to do it for you guys, because in the end, if you guys aren't paying attention, then this show doesn't go anywhere. So I hope you guys have a great night. Just remember, if you want to say anything to us, find us on our Facebook page. It's Gift Time Sports. You can find us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Gift Time Sports. And if you'd like to email us, you can email us at gifttimeproductions@gmail.com. And we will try and respond to you as soon as possible. We appreciate anybody that listens and everybody that listens. Thank you to Gary Giepert and Drew Tomczak for taking the time to do interviews with us. Want to say thank you to all of y'all. Y'all have a great night. And it's Bayou Rugby with Gifty signing out.